Chapter 21. Nearly relates to the bulbul. Apostrophe, Mr. Domini bent his head in stately recognition of the bulbuls as an old established body. With your usual happy discrimination, my dear Paul, apostrophe resumed Mrs. Chick, you have hit the point at once. Our darling is altogether as stout as we could wish. The fact is, that his mind is too much for him. His soul is a great deal too large for his frame. I am sure the way in which that dear child talks, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, shaking her head, no one would believe. His expressions, Lucretia, only yesterday upon the subject of funerals. I am afraid, apostrophe said Mr. Domini, interrupting her testily, that some of those persons upstairs suggest improper subjects to the child. He was speaking to me last night about his bones, apostrophe said Mr. Domini, laying an irritated stress upon the word. What on earth has anybody to do with the bones of my son? He is not a living skeleton, I suppose. Very far from it, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, with unspeakable expression. I hope so, apostrophe returned her brother. Funerals again. Who talks to the child of funerals? We are not undertakers, or mutes, or grave diggers, I believe. Apostrophe, very far from it, apostrophe interposed Mrs. Chick, with the same profound expression as before. Then who puts such things into his head? Apostrophe said Mr. Domini. Really I was quite dismayed and shocked last night. Who puts such things into his head, Louia? Apostrophe, my dear Paul, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, after a moment's silence, it is of no use inquiring. I do not think, I will tell you candidly that Wickham is a person of very cheerful spirit, or what one would call a daughter of Momus, apostrophe Miss Tox softly suggested. Exactly so, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, but she is exceedingly attentive and useful, and not at all presumptuous. Indeed I never saw a more biddable woman. I would say that for her, if I was put upon my trial before a court of justice. Apostrophe, well, you are not put upon your trial before a court of justice, at present, Louia, apostrophe returned Mr. Domini, chafing, and therefore it don't matter. My dear Paul, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, in a warning voice, I must be spoken to kindly, or there is an end of me, apostrophe at the same time a premonitory redness developed itself in Mrs. Chick's eyelids which was an invariable sign of rain, unless the weather changed directly. I was inquiring, Louia, apostrophe observed Mr. Domini, in an altered voice, and after a decent interval, about Paul's health and actual state. If the dear child, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, in the tone of one who was summing up what had been previously quite agreed upon, instead of saying it all for the first time, is a little weakened by that last attack, and is not in quite such vigorous health as we could wish, and if he has some temporary weakness in his system, and does occasionally seem about to lose, for the moment, the use of his apostrophe, Mrs. Chick was afraid to say limbs, after Mr. Domini's recent objection to bones, and therefore waited for a suggestion from Miss Tox, who, true to her office, hazarded members. Apostrophe, members. Apostrophe, repeated Mr. Domini. I think the medical gentleman mentioned legs this morning, my dear Louia, did he not? Apostrophe said Miss Tox. Why, of course he did, my love, apostrophe retorted Mrs. Chick, mildly reproachful. How can you ask me? You heard him. I say, if our dear Paul should lose, for the moment, the use of his legs, these are casualties common to many children at his time of life, and not to be prevented by any care or caution. The sooner you understand that, Paul, and admit that, the better. If you have any doubt as to the amount of care, and caution, and affection, and self-sacrifice that has been bestowed upon little Paul, I should wish to refer the question to your medical attendant, or to any of your dependents in this house. Call Towlinson, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, I believe he has no prejudice in our favor, quite the contrary. I should wish to hear what accusation Towlinson can make. Apostrophe, apostrophe, surely you must know, Louia, apostrophe, observed Mr. Dombey, that I don't question your natural devotion to, and regard for, the future head of my house. Apostrophe, I am glad to hear it, Paul, apostrophe, said Mrs. Chick. But really you are very odd, and sometimes talk very strangely, though without meaning it, I know. If your dear boy's soul is too much for his body, Paul, you should remember whose fault, that is who he takes after, I mean and make the best of it. He's as like his papa as he can be. People have noticed it in the streets. The very beetle, I am informed, observed it, so long ago, as at his christening. He's a very respectable man, with children of his own. He ought to know. Apostrophe, Mr. Pilkins saw Paul this morning, I believe? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Dombey. Yes, he did, apostrophe, returned his sister. Miss Tox and myself were present. Miss Tox and myself are always present. We make a point of it. Mr. Pilkins has seen him for some days past, and a very clever man I believe him to be. He says it is nothing to speak of, which I can confirm, if that is any consolation. But he recommended, today, Sierre. Very wisely, Paul, I feel convinced. Apostrophe, Sierre, apostrophe, repeated Mr. Dombey, looking at his sister. There is nothing to be made uneasy by, in that, said Mrs. Chick. My George and Frederick were both ordered Sierre, when they were about his age, and I have been ordered it myself a great many times. I quite agree with you, Paul, that perhaps topics may be incautiously mentioned upstairs before him, which it would be as well for his little mind not to expatiate upon. But I really don't see how that is to be helped, in the case of a child of his quickness. If he were a common child, there would be nothing in it. I must say I think, with Miss Tox, that a short absence from this house, the air of Brighton, and the bodily and mental training of so judicious a person as Mrs. Pipchin, for instance, apostrophe, who is Mrs. Pipchin, Louia? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Mr. Dombey, aghast at this familiar introduction of a name he had never heard before. Mrs. Pipchin, my dear Paul, apostrophe, returned his sister, is an elderly lady. Miss Tox knows her whole history, who has for some time devoted all the energies of her mind, with the greatest success, to the study and treatment of infancy, and who has been extremely well connected. Her husband broke his heart in, how did you say her husband broke his heart, my dear? I forget the precise circumstances. In pumping water out of the Peruvian mines, apostrophe, replied Miss Tox. Not being a pumper himself, of course, apostrophe, said Mrs. Chick, glancing at her brother, and it really did seem necessary to offer the explanation, for Miss Tox had spoken of him as if he had died at the handle, but having invested money in the speculation, which failed. I believe that Mrs. Pipchin's management of children is quite astonishing. I have heard it commended in private circles ever since I was dear me how high. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Chicks, I wandered about the bookcase near the bust of Mr. Pitt, which was about 10 feet from the ground. Perhaps I should say of Mrs. Pipchin, my dear sir, apostrophe, observed Miss Tox, with an ingenuous blush, having been so pointedly referred to, that the encomium which has been passed upon her by your sweet sister is well merited. Many ladies and gentlemen, now grown up to be interesting members of society, have been indebted to her care. The humble individual who addresses you was once under her charge. I believe juvenile nobility itself is no stranger to her establishment. Apostrophe, do I understand that this respectable matron keeps an establishment, Miss Tox? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Dombey, condescendingly. Why, I really don't know, apostrophe, rejoined that lady, whether I am justified in calling it so. It is not a preparatory school by any means. Should I express my meaning, apostrophe, said Miss Tox, with peculiar sweetness, if I designated it an infant and boarding house of a very select description? apostrophe apostrophe on an exceedingly limited and particular scale, apostrophe suggested Mrs. Chick, with a glance at her brother. Oh, exclusion itself, apostrophe said Miss Tox. There was something in this. Mrs. Pipchin's husband having broken his heart of the Peruvian mines was good. It had a rich sound. Besides, Mr. Dombey was in a state almost amounting to consternation at the idea of Paul remaining, where he was 1 hour after his removal had been recommended by the medical practitioner. It was a stoppage and delay upon the road the child must traverse, slowly at the best, before the goal was reached. Their recommendation of Mrs. Pipchin had great weight with him, for he knew that they were jealous of any interference with their charge, and he never for a moment took it into account that they might be solicitous to divide a responsibility, of which he had, as shown just now, his own established views. Broke his heart of the Peruvian mines, mused Mr. Dombey. Well, a very respectable way of doing it. Supposing we should decide, on tomorrow's inquiries, to send Paul down to Brighton to this lady, who would go with him? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Dombey, after some reflection. I don't think you could send the child anywhere at present without Florence, my dear Paul, apostrophe returned his sister, hesitating. It's quite an infatuation with him. He's very young, you know, and has his fancies. Apostrophe, Mr. Dombey turned his head away, and going slowly to the bookcase, and unlocking it, brought back a book to read. Anybody else, Louia? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said, without looking up, and turning over the leaves. Wickham, of course. Wickham would be quite sufficient, I should say, apostrophe returned his sister. Paul being in such hands as Mrs. Pipchin's, you could hardly send anybody who would be a further check upon her. You would go down yourself once a week at least, of course. Apostrophe, of course, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey, and sat looking at one page for an hour afterwards, without reading one word. This celebrated Mrs. Pipchin was a marvelous ill-favored, ill-conditioned old lady, of a stooping figure, with a mottled face, like bad marble, a hook nose, and a hard gray eye, that looked as if it might have been hammered at on an anvil without sustaining any injury. 40 years at least had elapsed since the Peruvian mines had been the death of Mr. Pipchin, but his relic still wore black bombazine, of such a lusterless, deep, dead, somber shade, that gas itself couldn't light her up after dark, and her presence was a quencher to any number of candles. She was generally spoken of as a great manager of children, and the secret of her management was to give them everything that they didn't like, and nothing that they did which was found to sweeten their dispositions very much. She was such a bitter old lady that one was tempted to believe there had been some mistake in the application of the Peruvian machinery, and that all her waters of gladness and milk of human kindness had been pumped out dry instead of the mines. The castle of this ogress and child queller was in a steep high street at Brighton, where the soil was more than usually chalky, flinty, and sterile, and the houses were more than usually brittle and thin, where the small front gardens had the unaccountable property of producing nothing but marigolds, whatever was sown in them, and where snails were constantly discovered holding onto the street doors, and other public places they were not expected to ornament, with the tenacity of cupping glasses. In the winter time the air couldn't be got out of the castle, and in the summer time it couldn't be got in. There was such a continual reverberation of wind in it, that it sounded like a great shell, which the inhabitants were obliged to hold to their ears night and day, whether they liked it or no. It was not, naturally, a fresh-smelling house, and in the window of the front parlor, which was never opened, Mrs. Pipchin kept a collection of plants in pots, which imparted an earthy flavor of their own to the establishment. However choice examples of their kind too, these plants were of a kind peculiarly adapted to the embowerment of Mrs. Pipchin. There were half a dozen specimens of the cactus, writhing round bits of lath, like hairy serpents, Another specimen shooting out broad claws, like a green lobster, several creeping vegetables, possessed of sticky and adhesive leaves, and one uncomfortable flower pot hanging to the ceiling, which appeared to have boiled over, and tickling people underneath with its long green ends, reminded them of spiders in which Mrs. Pipchin's dwelling was uncommonly prolific, though perhaps it challenged competition still more proudly, in the season, in point of earwigs. Mrs. Pipchin's scale of charges being high, however, to all who could afford to pay, and Mrs. Pipchin very seldom sweetening the equable acidity of her nature in favor of anybody, she was held to be an old lady of remarkable firmness, who was quite scientific in her knowledge of the childish character. Apostrophe on this reputation, and on the broken heart of Mr. Pipchin, she had contrived, taking one year with another, to eke out a tolerable sufficient living since her husband's demise. Within 3 days after Mrs. Chick's first allusion to her, this excellent old lady had the satisfaction of anticipating a handsome addition to her current receipts, from the pocket of Mr. Dombey, and of receiving Florence and her little brother Paul, as inmates of the castle. Mrs. Chick and Miss Tox, who had brought them down on the previous night which they all passed at an hotel, had just driven away from the door, on their journey home again, and Mrs. Pipchin, with her back to the fire, stood, reviewing the newcomers, like an old soldier. Mrs. Pipchin's middle-aged niece, her good-natured and devoted slave, but possessing a gaunt and iron-bound aspect, and much afflicted with boils on her nose, was divesting Master Bitherstone of the clean collar he had worn on parade. Miss Panky, the only other little boarder at present, at that moment been walked off to the castle dungeon, an empty apartment at the back, devoted to correctional purposes, for having sniffed thrice, in the presence of visitors. "Well, sir," apostrophe said Mrs. Pipchin to Paul, "how do you think you shall like me?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't think I shall like you at all," apostrophe replied Paul. "I want to go away. This isn't my house." "Apostrophe, no. It's mine," apostrophe retorted Mrs. Pipchin. "It's a very nasty one," apostrophe said Paul. "There's a worse place in it than this though," apostrophe said Mrs. Pipchin, "where we shut up our bad boys." "Apostrophe, has he ever been in it?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," asked Paul, pointing out Master Bitherstone. Mrs. Pipchin nodded assent, and Paul had enough to do, for the rest of that day, in surveying Master Bitherstone from head to foot, and watching all the workings of his countenance, with the interest attaching to a boy of mysterious and terrible experiences. At 1 o'clock there was a dinner, chiefly of the farinaceous and vegetable kind, when Miss Panky, a mild little blue-eyed morsel of a child, who was shampooed every morning, and seemed in danger of being rubbed away altogether, was led in from captivity by the ogress herself, and instructed that nobody who sniffed before visitors ever went to heaven. When this great truth had been thoroughly impressed upon her, she was regaled with rice, and subsequently repeated the form of grace established in the castle, in which there was a special clause, thanking Mrs. Pipchin for a good dinner. Mrs. Pipchin's niece, Berinthia, took cold pork. Mrs. Pipchin, whose constitution required? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.